The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Travel Time with Lindsay T. Boyd, Dreamweaver. If you've always wanted to know a bit more about travel, whether for work or pleasure, you'll want to stay tuned for the next hour. Lindsay has over 20 years of worldly experience and is ready to make your next trip the best trip possible. Now, here is your host, Lindsay T. Boyd.
Good afternoon and welcome to Travel Time with Lindsay Boyd. Today we've got a fantastic show today. We have Eileen Ogintz, who's going to be on the show today, and we'll talk about her in just a moment. And we also have some interesting news that's happening in the travel industry today and around the world. One of the things that I want to start off with is to let anybody who's out there looking at United Airlines and flying on United today, due to a computer malfunction early this morning that took their computer systems out for 2 hours, actually about 2 hours and 35 minutes in the Chicago area, there's going to be major delays and continuous delays throughout the day. There's been some flight cancellations and some other things along with that. And so you can look at, for today and tomorrow, United flights are going to be extremely full and are going to be operating a little behind schedule. This is the second time in 3 months that United has had some technological problems. And so it begs to wonder whether they need to adjust some things in their system. Another thing to look at is now American Airlines is now moving forward in the last part of their merger with U.S. Airways. And that's the merging of their reservation platforms into one. Now, previously, U.S. Airways was on the Shares reservation system and American Airlines was on the Sabre platform, kind of like when United and Continental merged, in where there was a lot of problems in the as they merged the systems together. I would expect that you're going to see the same things when you're flying on American for the next 3 or 4 months as they work out the bugs and the kinks in those systems. So if you have to be somewhere truly, definitely on time, you may want to avoid those airlines for the next 2 or 3 months till they work out all those flaws in the system. Next, something important happened this morning. Carnival Cruise Lines announced that they will be sending a cruise ship to Cuba. Yes, Cuba will be open for cruise lines starting next year in around May. So if you want to see Cuba before it becomes cruise ship-ized, in other words, before there's tons of people from cruise ships coming in and changing the culture a little bit of the island, you might want to look at Cuba trips between now and then. Now, moving forward, let's talk about our wonderful guest today. Eileen Ogintz is a leading national travel expert and syndicated columnist of an award-winning weekly column called Taking the Kids. There's a website that you can go to that's called Taking the Kids. And she's also a established writer. She's established a series of books that are based on regions that will teach you, your family, and your kids what are the best things that you can do in those areas. Now, I could go on and on about Eileen Ogintz and what she has done in the past, but it's always better to let somebody else tell the story or let them tell their own story. So, Eileen, tell me a little bit about your past and what got you into the weekly column of TakingTheKids.com.
First, thanks for having me. And By the way, I just wanted to offer a little bit of advice to your listeners about United. They shouldn't be shy if they really have to be somewhere, you know, for a meeting or a wedding or whatever, to ask United to put them on another airline, because I'm sure that's going to be happening. And rather than United telling them they can't get them where they need to go for the next 4 days, be polite, but be firm. That would be my advice.
That's great advice.
So anyway, I was a national reporter for the Chicago Tribune, which meant that I was traveling all over the country doing stories. And at the time, I had two young children, and the travel editor was a friend. So one weekend, he asked me to do one of these stories where it was, you know, a $300 weekend within a drivable distance of Chicago. And I called this guy who had a B&B in Wisconsin, and he assured me he loved kids. And I knew we were in trouble as soon as we got out of the car. My three-year-old was running around like a banshee, and my one-year-old had a big lollipop stuck in her mouth. And things went from bad to worse when my son, who was three, for whatever reason, decided the guy's cat needed a swim and pushed him into the goldfish pond. Anyway, to make a long story short, the guy insisted we leave immediately. And being the reporter that I was, I wrote a story about it. And I didn't try to sugarcoat it, as a lot of travel writing had been. I just told the story of what happened to us. And it had a lot of resonance for a lot of people our age who had backpacked a lot in college or after college, and suddenly they were faced with toting diaper bags instead of backpacks and were trying to figure out how to continue to travel. So that was how it started. And back then, there were very few people who were writing about family travel. And a lot of times, other than in the theme park world, when you'd ask about family travel, people would give you funny looks. But today, I'm really happy to say that I co-chair two conferences a year that attract scores of family travel influencers from around the country. So there's a whole next generation of bloggers and those with a lot of social influence who really are kind of holding the travel industry's toes to the fire as far as doing well by families. So that was how it all started.
Now,
my books sort of grew out of a sense, really more than a sense, but now kids are influencing vacations like never before, and parents really are listening to where kids go and what they want to do. So this series of books about major cities, it looks at places through a kid's eye view, and I interviewed upwards of 100 kids for each of the books. So there's tips about souvenir shopping and restaurants and what you should have in your backpack and favorite sites. So it's really interesting to see kids' perspectives, I think.
Now, one of the things I noticed is you started this way back in about 1987. So you've got close to 30 years doing family advice columns, or at
right. least. Hard to believe. My middle daughter recently got married, so, and I wrote a column about that weekend as well. So
you can actually give people perspectives about not only when they're small, but as they're growing through their teen years and right up into adulthood, and how it doing a multi-generational travel trip is something that is not easily done, but it can be done if you look at all the different things.
Right. I mean, it doesn't have to be that difficult either. And that's another thing, is that there's way more multi-generational travel than I think there ever was before, or to many more places as the baby boomers have as their kids have grown up and they want to keep traveling with their grandkids. I met a 91-year-old grandmother this last week on a cruise ship in Scotland who was traveling solo with her 18-year-old grandson. It was a high school graduation present. So I think as long as people continue to be spry and fit, they really want to show their grandkids the world. I think the big mistake that families make when they're planning something is the expectations are too high. You know, it's going to be the vacation of the century. And really, whenever you're traveling with kids, it's never going to be perfect, even if the kids are grown kids, you know, because grown siblings are still going to squabble, right? So it's going to be family, but it's going to be family in a different place. And if your attitude is right, you'll have some really memorable new experiences together.
Now, I know when I look at doing things with families and groups, it's always hard to juggle, or at least it is for me, to juggle. One person likes to do a lot of things, and another person wants to do hardly anything. And one person likes to climb the hills, and the other one likes to sit back and kind of almost watch TV, but be on a ship or something where everybody is doing all the work for them. So,
well, I think the thing is when you're planning a family trip, everybody involved has to realize they're not going to get to do everything they want to do all of the time. They should get to do some of what they want to do some of the time, and to realize it's a compromise. You know, it's not their dream vacation. It's a family trip. So the idea is to choose a destination or a cruise ship or something that'll allow for that different kind of venue, you know. So if you have some people that all they want to do is hike all day or scuba dive or whatever, they should have that opportunity. If you have other people who just want to sit in the sun, they should have that opportunity. There should be activities for different age kids, and the kids should agree to compromise, too, so that if, you know, mom and dad want them to go to a museum or an art gallery, then they'll do something else that the kids want to do later. And it's the same with food. So I think as long as you can compromise and be at a place that's a good backdrop for that, whether it's a big rental house or a resort or a cruise ship, it should be okay. It's just when you get people, you know, when you get the hikers or the campers who are griping the whole time that they're not backpacking, you know, or the others who are maybe used to 6-star accommodations and this is a 4-star trip, you know, then that's when you get into trouble, I think.
Now, I noticed in your blog, which is at www.takingthekids.com, that you recently had a post about airports and lounges and different things that are available at different airports. So when you're taking a long trip, do you think it's something that parents and the travel industry should take note of, is to look at what airports you're going to be traveling through, and if you have layovers, try to find out in advance what activities or what things are there so that you can make that transition time even better?
I think anything you can do to de-stress flying is a good thing. I was at Edinburgh Airport yesterday, and they had a great little indoor playground for the kids, you know, which let them burn off some energy. I thought that was great. A lot of airports now have, San Francisco is one and O'Hare is another, have really good local food venues, you know, so if you're going to have a long layover, you might be able to have a nice meal. If you fly a lot or you're flying first class or business and you can have access to one of the airport lounges, all the better. Sometimes you can get access with certain credit cards, and sometimes you can buy a one-day pass that if you've got 4 or 5 hours, it may be worth it to get away from the fray, you know, and relax in a more comfortable location. I was at the one at Heathrow last night and for British Air, and they even have showers there. And I know Virgin Atlantic's have a spa. So, you know, that may sound like a real indulgence, but let's say if you're flying halfway around the world and you have to immediately go to a business meeting or something, that could be a really good thing. Or you're flying halfway around the world with a couple of kids, it can, to get them out of the airport craziness, that can also be a good thing. So,
well, one of the things I found about traveling and going into a lounge is that in a lounge, and for people who don't know, at most of the airports, there is your major airlines will have a lounge that's dedicated to their flyers and to the people who fly on their airline. And in those lounges, there's drinks, there's bathrooms, there's TVs, there's newspapers, there's showers. Not in all of them are there showers, but if it's an international flight, all the international lounges will have showers or some other thing to freshen yourself up before. They have places where you can set your bags to be stowed at different times. And I found that when you travel that way, it makes the whole airport experience a totally different thing.
Well, now, that's definitely true. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Now, one of the things that I found interesting that you just told me about was that Edinburgh has a play area for kids. So,
well, they're not the only one. In fact, in Chicago, at one of the terminals at O'Hare, they have a mini version of the Children's Museum. So different airports have I wish all airports had something, but you know, at least some airports have something for kids, and they're not in the in these lounges. You know, they're just open to anybody. Now, it may not necessarily be in the terminal where you're going to be, so you probably might not go there unless you're going to be flying at that terminal. But if it turns out you have a long delay or something, you might well check that out, even if it meant you had to go from one terminal to another.
That's fantastic. You know, when we come back, we're getting ready to go to a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the trips that you've taken with your kids and how you got into your guides, and also maybe you could talk about one of the best trips that you've had with the family and how you plan that.
Okay.
Right now,
sure.
We're going to pass off and go on to our sponsors and the break.
Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Weave your own dream vacation or trip using our Dreamweaver services. Our job is to plan your amazing travel experience from start to finish, saving you the hassle of making arrangements yourself. From tea times, restaurant reservations, cruise or airline tickets, cars, hotels, and group accommodations, to ensuring special needs such as handicap or disability access is available, the Dreamweaver desk is designed to accommodate your travel requests. The delivery of completely customized luxury sports, lifestyle, and cruise travel packages is job one. We pride ourselves on delivering top-quality travel packages that take the worry out of travel, allowing our guests to enjoy special moments that will last a lifetime. Currently, our high-demand, limited-availability trips include the Summer Games in Rio 2016, the World Cup of Rugby in England September 2015, and much more. What are you waiting for? Contact us today to get started on your once-in-a-lifetime experience. Call 877-DREAM-1. That's 877-373-2661. Or go to www.dreamweaver.com for our special pricing packages. That's 877-DREAMM-1 or dreamweaver.com. Remember, it's dream with two M's.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are enjoying Travel Time with Lindsay T. Boyd, Dreamweaver. To reach our show live, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to Dreamweaver with two M's at TamandaRayTravel.com. Now, back to Travel Time with Lindsay T. Boyd.
Hi, before the break, we were talking with Eileen Ogetz, a national travel expert. She's a syndicated columnist and has been seen on ABC News, Fox News, and just about every media source that you can think about out there. She's been blogging, writing books, magazine articles, on TV, and is just known as a good person to go to. She's, for ABC News, she's almost like the go-to person for family travel. You know, recently, I think there was an article or something about, didn't you interview the First Lady about exercise or something?
I did. I've interviewed the First Lady twice. The first time was about being more active on vacation, as because she's so famously been behind this combating childhood obesity. And the second time was about eating healthier on vacation. And I thought it was really great because she wasn't saying, you know, you shouldn't have ice cream on vacation or you shouldn't splurge or whatever. She was just saying to be sensible. And I think that's what a lot of parents think these days. You know, they and their kids turn down their noses at kids' menus that only offer you know, fried chicken fingers and fries and mac and cheese. You know, kids want more interesting, healthier fare, just like their parents do. So, I think that's a good thing for all of us, right?
Now, there's all sorts of different types of travel and trips that people take. There's trips to amusement parks, and there's trips just to go camping in the woods, and there's trips to different countries where people learn about history and different things like that. And a lot of times you hear parents going, well, I don't know that I want to go there because my kids aren't going to like it or my kids aren't going to be able to adapt to it. How do you get kids to go to a museum or make a museum interesting so that they want to go to the museum with you when you get to a different destination?
Well, first of all, the more you can get kids involved in the planning, the happier the kids are going to be. And you can let the kids lead the way. Museums, it's a lot easier these days because even the most famous, biggest museums like the Metropolitan Museum in New York or the Louvre in Paris are all much more interactive, and they'll have special family tours and family guides that are all free. You know, the Smithsonian even has a kids' website. So as far as museums go, my suggestion would be before the trip, you encourage the kids to basically do a virtual tour and look online at the museums you're planning to go to, and then maybe follow them. And if you have kids that are different ages, you can split up in the museum. You know, maybe one kid really wants to see dinosaurs, and another kid is really interested in the geological exhibit, you know, so you can split up and then talk about what you saw later. A lot of museums, for the youngest kids, they have special family workshops, and they also have family rooms, you know, where there's usually a staff person, and they may be doing crafts or science experiments, and so it's a lot easier than you would have thought of in the old days. And the other thing I would encourage parents is to consider some smaller museums that may not be the biggest museum in the city, but may zero in on an interest your child has. You know, maybe it's the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. Or when I was in Edinburgh yesterday, there's a Museum of Childhood, you know, that has toys through the ages. So, you know, I think you can find those kinds of things by, if you just, whatever city you're going to visit, you just look online, and then you can kind of peruse what the offerings are, and then you can talk to the kids about what they want to see, and then go from there.
So that would mean that you do a little research in advance. Now, do you find that for parents that if you have no clue that maybe they should talk to travel agents and people like who've done those trips before, or at least have an understanding of an area to put together a plan?
It's easier than ever to put information together because there's so much information online now. I find travel agents can be particularly helpful if they are experts in the kind of trip that you are doing. For example, if you're going on a cruise for the first time, it's really helpful to work with a travel agent who's a cruise expert, because choosing a cruise ship, choosing the right ship for your family and the right cabins can be very complicated. So if you're going on a safari, you know, maybe you want to talk to people who are experts in that. There are experts in Disney World in Orlando. So, but if you're willing to do some research yourself, you can also do a lot of research online yourself and with your kids. So, and it can become a kind of a fun project. I mean, some families think that the planning for the trips are as much fun as the trips themselves, you know, because one mom was telling me in Ireland last week, you know, that she and her boys, she's a single mom, and they spend 6 months planning a trip. So, you know, talking about what they want to do and where they want to go. And it can become a whole family activity.
Now, we discussed, you brought up the cruises a little while ago. Tell me, what do you think of cruises for a family vacation? I mean,
I think, I think especially when you have a multi-generational group, cruises can be great. And it should be no surprise to anybody that they're the fastest growing segment of the cruise industry. But keep in mind that it's not a one-ship-fits-all kind of thing anymore. I mean, I've met families on adventure cruises in Alaska and the Arctic. Families are now cruising on river cruises. Disney just announced they're going to be doing a river cruise this year, and Uniworld, a major river cruise company, has announced they're tripling their family departures next year. And you'll find families on luxury lines like Crystal, you know, where kids may travel free over the summer. So it all depends on your cruising style, but you can usually find a ship that'll suit, I think, for everybody. I like cruises because there's opportunities for families to be together, and there's opportunities for families to get away from each other or do different things but still get together for dinner. And you don't have to pack and unpack every couple of days. And if you have people with different budgets, usually there's different levels of accommodations. Let's say the grandparents want a suite, but someone else in the family doesn't want to spend that much, they usually can. So, and there's often, if it's a family-oriented trip, there'll be activities for the kids. So I think that's really, it could be a really excellent bet. I think you really need whatever kind of a trip you're planning with a multi-generational group, I think you really need to talk through ahead of time who's paying for what, you know, what the expectations are. So there are no surprises.
You know, that brings up an important point, budgets and who's paying for what and what you're doing. Now, I know that on cruises, as you said, there's so many different things, and it's a good place to control your budget, but it's also a place that your budget can go out of control if you're not thinking about what you're doing in advance, because you could have 10 people going on 10 different side trips at every port, and at the end, your dollar budget will make you cry.
Right, but, and one point I would make about that, and I just saw this recently because I was on a Windstar trip in Ireland and Scotland. Especially if you're a family group, you shouldn't feel bound to the ship's shore excursions, because there are many companies out there that work with cruise passengers every day that'll get you back to the ship on time, and it'll cost you probably half what the ship shore excursions will cost you, and you won't be in a huge group of people, which can make a really big difference if kids are part of the equation or seniors. This 90-year-old grandmother I met on this ship with her grandson, she said what they did most days was they got off the boat, they asked the local tourism people what were the top sites if they didn't know themselves what they wanted to see, and they took a taxi. And that way, if she got tired or he got tired, they could just go at their own pace and not worry about being in a huge group of people and thinking that they paid way too much. Another thing on cruise ships that can really derail your budget is both alcohol and a casino. So that's another thing to consider, you know, to be mindful of, that cruise lines don't make their money on the rooms. They make their money on casinos and alcohol. So just consider that, so you don't have sticker shock when you get off the ship. And if, for example, you are a big drinker, you know, or that's a big part of what you want to do on vacation, consider a cruise line like Regent Seven Seas or some of the other high-end ones that have now started including all of their shore excursions and their liquor, so that you may pay a little bit more up front, but it's kind of like going to an all-inclusive resort. You basically know what the charge is, and then you don't have to worry about how much extra you're going to be adding on.
Well, that's a very good point, because I know that on the higher-end luxury liners, with some of the discounts that are available out there, when you talk to your travel agent to book that time stuff, they can help you just by knowing what the averages are that people spend and talking to you about what you like to do and say, okay, maybe we need to buy a beverage package for you if you're going to stay on Carnival. Or maybe if you just pay a couple hundred dollars more, you'll end up on Crystal or someplace else and have all-inclusive. One of the nice things about doing river cruises is a lot of the river cruises in Europe now have little GPS things that you can get from them, that you get off the boat and you walk through town and press the little GPS button, and it will tell you on your walk what are the historic things that you're passing.
Right, and a lot of times on river cruises, their excursions are included if you choose to do them, but some people prefer, as you say, to just go off on their own. I mean, the main thing I hear about from people with shore excursions is they worry they're going to miss the boat. And the thing is, if you're mindful of your time and you deal with a reputable tour company, if you are going to get a guide, that won't happen. There's one company I like that's based in Canada called Tours by Locals, and I like, of course, it can be hit or miss, but you're dealing directly with the tour guides who live in that area, and they would deal with a lot of local cruise passengers. So they'll know, you know, if your ship is leaving at 4 o'clock, they'll make sure they have you back at 3:10, you know. So so you just have to be smart about it, just like you would be at home if you had to be somewhere for something.
Well, and that's one of the things that I know as a travel agent I help my people with is when they go on cruises or whether they're going to a city on their own, I will either give them a city guide that they can look at while they're in those cities, and it tells them about the metro or the subway systems and the bus systems and the passes. And also, I have contacts in each one of those countries or different places that they go, that they can buy tours in advance. The same thing with the tours on the cruise ships. They can buy them in advance, and I'll usually give them two or three local companies that they can look at, find out what they want, and pick, which is an advantage of an agency. Now, one of the things I noticed on your book...
Because you'll know the people that are good for them to work with.
Right. One of the things that... I noticed on your website is that you have some great books and some great regional information. When we come back from the break, we're going to go over that regional information and talk about a little bit about your kids' guides and how you developed them and what they have in them.
Okay,
and now,
sounds great.
To our sponsors.
Streaming live. The leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to chat about your favorite soap operas? The Daytime Discussion is here with Dan J. Kroll and Soap Central Live. For the past 15 years, Dan has been dishing and discussing on SoapCentral.com. And now he's taking the talk to the airwaves of the Voice America Variety Channel. You'll go behind the scenes with the biggest stars of daytime, along with guest commentary from the Soap Central columnists. And we'll take your questions and comments during our live show. Soap Central Live, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Weave your own dream vacation or trip using our Dreamweaver services. Our job is to plan your amazing travel experience from start to finish, saving you the hassle of making arrangements yourself. From tea times, restaurant reservations, cruise or airline tickets, cars, hotels, and group accommodations, to ensuring special needs such as handicap or disability access is available, the Dreamweaver desk is designed to accommodate your travel requests. The delivery of completely customized luxury sports, lifestyle, and cruise travel packages is job one. We pride ourselves on delivering top-quality travel packages that take the worry out of travel, allowing our guests to enjoy special moments that will last a lifetime. Currently, our high-demand, limited-availability trips include the Summer Games in Rio 2016, the World Cup of Rugby in England September 2015, and much more. What are you waiting for? Contact us today to get started on your once-in-a-lifetime experience. Call 877-DREAM-1. That's 877-373-2661. Or go to www.dreamweaver.com for our special pricing packages. That's 877-DREAMM-1 or dreamweaver.com. Remember, it's Dream with two M's.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are enjoying Travel Time with Lindsay T. Boyd, Dreamweaver. To reach our show live, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to Dreamweaver with two M's at TamandaRayTravel.com. Now, back to Travel Time with Lindsay T. Boyd.
Hi, welcome back from the break. And we've been talking to Ellen Ogentz. And for those of you who haven't been listening to us or just catching up with us now, a good thing for you to do would be to go to www.takingthekids.com. That's her website, and it's also where she has a blog. She has a weekly column that's listed in there. There's daily travel tips. She has a travel diary. And even talks about some of the things where she's been interviewed in the media. You know, she's one of those people who Fox News, ABC News, and all the major news outlets reach out to find out information about how to plan and how to have a successful family vacation. One of the things that she's done is she came up with this fantastic book series. And it's a book series that is based mainly on the kids. And she's doing it for all the major geographical areas, or at least I believe that's where she's going. And it's called The Kids Guides.
Yeah, they're the major cities, cities like New York and D.C. and Orlando, Denver, San Diego, San Francisco, L.A., the kinds of places families go. I'm in the process right now of just starting the third edition for the New York City book, and the publisher's interested in branching out into national parks, so I think, I'm not sure which one, but I think we're going to start one. What makes these books different is I try to look at the destinations through the kids' eyes. So that means there's a lot of fun facts in them, and maybe most importantly, there's a lot of tips for local, you know, from local kids. So it may be in the Denver book, it may be talking about what you have in your backpack when you go hiking, or what kids always eat when they're skiing, or what their favorite exhibit is at a museum, or you know, so it could be anything like that. And then we also, there's some games in the books, and there's also a section that is for tell the adults. So it may be festivals or how to be greener on vacation, all kinds of things like that. And so they, you know, but it's a lot of fun, the fun facts, like who knew the cheeseburger was invented in Denver, you know, or that you can sign up to snorkel with the fish at the downtown aquarium in Denver. I'm just flipping through a couple of the books as
now,
as we're
one of the
chatting.
Things that I find that's great about your book is if I'm a parent and I want, especially if I'm a single parent and I don't have a lot of time, but I want to make sure that I'm having a vacation that my kids enjoy, if I pick up one of your guides or I read one of your guides, which is the kids' guide to San Francisco, let's say, or any of your kids' guides, or which are kids helping kids discover America, one of the things I find great about your books is that if you read it as a parent and you look through it, what it gives you is it gives you the world from a kid's viewpoint and also from an adult viewpoint, in that you can look at it and say, oh, this is what the kids might like, this is what I might like, and this is how I can plan a trip quickly to an area that I'm going.
And what we tried to do was, you know, like for example, in the books, it might say, you know, five places for fun eats, you know, or five places for great desserts. And we would have gotten that all from locals. And every book also has Fun Can Be Free, you know, that it'll give you 10 different things you might be able to do that isn't going to cost you anything. So so I think it's kind of fun from that perspective.
Well, that's really important for a single parent or a low-income family. If you can point out, it, and your books do, point out things that they can do that are free.
You know, not even only a low-income family, because I find it's just, it sort of adds to the pressure of vacation if you're doing one high-end attraction after another. And then if the kids aren't having a good time, you know, I mean, every time I'm at a theme park, I see these parents with their teeth gritted, you know, and they're determined to get their money's worth. So, I mean, if you go to a playground or you go to a beach instead, or you go to a free museum, there's no pressure, you know. If the kids are tired or they're hungry, you can just leave and not worry about it. So I think that's a really plus, a big plus for Washington, D.C., for example, where most of the museums are free. And London,
yep,
too.
That is fun, wonderful about Washington, D.C. I agree with that. You go to Washington, D.C., and you can see so much and be so tired at the end of a day and still want to go back the next day along that mall and go to all those Smithsonian museums, which for most people, which for everybody, but most people don't know, those museums are free.
Totally free. And, you know, the great thing about that is you can, you know, go to one of them for a couple of hours, and then when the kids have had enough, just leave. It's not like you've paid $20 a head like some major museums cost. And there are ways, too, to save money. I mean, there is a good company called CityPass and in Europe it would be like, it's a different company, but it's the same concept. It would be London Pass or Paris Pass, where if you know you're going to a city and you're going to try to hit all of the big attractions, you know, the big museums that cost money or the Statue of Liberty or whatever it is, you can buy these books and you'll end up saving significantly on the attractions. But what I discovered in Paris is you also avoid the lines. So if we had tried to go to the Louvre without this pass, you know, we would have been waiting in line to get in for like an hour. And instead, it's the same thing like to go to the top of the Empire State Building in New York. You know, it's great. So so there's two, you know, one is for international and the other would be citypass.com. And they're a good bet if for people if they do think they're going to hit all the major attractions somewhere other than D.C., where things are going to cost a lot.
Now,
let me just add one more thing that people may not realize. If you're a member of your local museum or aquarium or zoo, you may be able to have a reciprocal entrance wherever you're going to visit. So that's something to ask if you happen to be a member of your local children's museum or your, you know, science museum or whatever it is, art museum, because that can also save a lot.
Well, and when you talk about additional ways to save a lot and memberships to museums, one of the things here in where I live in the Chicago area, you can go to the public library and check out passes to go to the different museums in town. And
do you have to have a library card to do that? Or
well, yes, in some of the some you do, and others you don't. You can apply for, you can get a visitor pass where you sign off for some stuff at the library, and they'll take your information and maybe hold a credit card as a like a deposit and then allow you to use it to go into the museums. And I don't know if that's in other cities in the world, but for all of you who are out there, if you have visitors or whatever, you might want to check your public libraries and see if they have a museum pass or something along that line that can be checked out. And then when your friends come to visit in town, if you have a library card, you go check it out for them and hand it to them for use for the day and cut their costs. So when you're going to go visit somebody who's a friend in another city, you might want to call your friend and say, hey, could you check your library to see if they have these passes?
Or just do you have a family membership to your local science museum or zoo or whatever?
Right.
Which is a good thing. Another good thing your listeners might be interested in, there's a company, it's not really a company, it's an organization called Global Greeters, that they can just Google Global Greeters. They're all over the world, and they're run by volunteers. So the idea is that you would be able to arrange a tour in the city you're visiting given by a local in your language about what you're interested in, whether it was food or architecture or history. And it's a really great opportunity because locals are interested in showing off a part of their city, and you don't pay anything. All you might do is make a small donation to the organization. But I've had really good experiences doing that in Paris and in New York, and I just like to give them a plug because I think they're wonderful. So
I'd have to agree with you there. I know that when you're in Florence and in Rome, that they will get you into places that sometimes there's a wait list for. I mean, into the catacombs. I was able to get into the catacombs and have a tour there without having to wait in the line and get in the long list because I contacted these people and they set everything up in advance. So little things like that will help. You have to plan in the future. You have to look at different things that are going on. And one of the things that I would
say... It goes back to planning, as you say.
Yep. And there's two ways to plan. You can, as Eileen said earlier, you could spend up to 6 months planning on your own. You can go to a travel agency and work with an expert in that area. And a lot of people are specialized in different areas and get information and you can talk to your friends and family. And I would say, I myself would say you do all three. That way you get the best trip possible. And as you're doing that, please take the time to go to www.takingthekids.com and look at the kids' guides that she has there. Look at her connections for finding family tours and activities. She's got a link there for family travel guides for every season to give you an idea. And you can join her email newsletter and get information. Now, that's about all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank Eileen for her input and everything that she's done with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And they can email me at Eileen, E-I-L-E-E-N, at takingthekids.com, and I'm happy to also answer questions.
And if you have questions in the future about anything that you've learned today or heard today on the show, please direct them to us at dreamweaver@tomandaritravel.com, or, and that's dream with two M's, D-R-E-A-M-M, weaver.com. And again, Eileen, I'd like to thank you for being a wonderful, wonderful guest, and look forward to talking to you again and maybe having you on the show again sometime.
Oh, well, thanks so much for having me, and happy travels, everybody.
Okay, thank you. That's the show for today. Next week we'll be talking about cruises, and we may have somebody from Cruise Critics here. Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you for joining us this week for Travel Time with Lindsay T. Boyd. Be sure to tune in for another edition with the Dreamweaver next Wednesday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Until our next journey together, happy travels!